You're listening to Wheelationships.
Well, we're going to talk about removing boulders this morning. Removing boulders. Real quickly, six types of conflict we've talked about the last 2 weeks, and I don't have them on your handout. I don't have them on the screen. I'm just going to mention them to try to kind of remind you. I was sitting, it was a funny thing, when I started preparing for this week, I was trying to remember myself the six types of conflicts we talked about, and I had no idea. I had not a clue. Except I could remember one of them, which was the sin of one, the weakness of one. These are the different types of ways we conflict with each other. The sin of one, the weakness of one, hurt feelings with no wrongness. You know, somebody gets their feelings hurt, nobody's really wrong, wasn't a sin. The fourth one was conflicting desires. When two of you want different things, that's an instant conflict. Desires of one person versus the needs of the relationship. Somebody wants something, but the relationship needs something else. You have a conflict. And known versus unknown problems. When we have things we don't realize are there, they'll cause problems. So different types of conflict we've talked about. So the $64,000 question, I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember that reference, but the $64,000 question is, when we have these types of conflicts, what do we do? What do we do about them? Okay? Conflicts are pretty normal. Conflicts are pretty much every day. If you have two people, you're going to have conflict. Why is that? Because you have differences. Nobody is exactly the same as somebody else, no matter how similar you may be. So at some point, you're going to have conflict. It doesn't mean someone is wrong. It means that at least you are different. And if you're not having any conflicts whatsoever, one of you is unnecessary. Okay? But that's not the case. You're both necessary. So there's going to be some sort of conflict. Now, you may not want to address the conflict. You may not want to deal with the conflict. All those other things, but they're there. Whether or not you, how far down you push them. So what do you do with them? Well, there are really two parts of every conflict. Two parts of every conflict. No matter what type of conflict you're dealing with, there are two issues of every conflict. And the issues are this. There is the issue to be dealt with. It's the thing that's causing the conflict, whether it's the sin of one, the weakness of one, conflicting desires, desires of one person, all those six different types of conflict. There's the issue to be dealt with, and there's the ability of the person to deal with the issue. The ability of the person to deal with the issue. Because many times the real difficulty we're having is because of the second half of the issue. We kind of stumble and fall and get stuck on that second half. The issue itself may not be that big of a deal. It may be a simple disagreement, matter of opinion. I want to go here, you want to go there. And it may be a simple thing of, but if you have an inability or you have a weakness where you can't address the issue, then you're going to get stuck there. Last week, I think we mentioned, last week we had an issue with our septic system. It wasn't a personal conflict with us, but it's just as an example. We had this issue. We had this issue with our septic system. It was not a big deal. It was, in the end, the system had to be pumped out. It was full. Okay, it gets full to overflowing, where you're fertilizing things you don't mean to fertilize. Then you need to pump it out. Now, there may be like other secondary issues with that. You know, the filter. It's old enough. It doesn't have a filter. It's old. It's really old. It may be undersized. You know, all these kinds of things. But the main issue was it had to be pumped out. Now, that's not a, you know, all that it required for us was call the septic people, say, would you come pump this out? Okay? We're a team, dear.
I said us?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's not a big issue, but if for some reason there was a weakness or an inability with both of us where we couldn't pick up the phone, or maybe a weakness or an inability where we couldn't pay the guy when he showed up, then we get stuck. It's not that the issue is a big deal, but if there's some inability, if there's some problem in this second part, or the inability of the person to address the issue, then the problem with the septic system would still be going on. And that's how it is with our conflicts. If you have a problem in that second area, the conflict's going to keep going. Okay? It's not the issue itself that continues the conflict. So, we're going to talk about, first of all, when resolving conflict is easier. When is it easier to deal with a conflict? Well, half the battle is over. If those are the two issues, then half the battle is over if both of you love good fences. That's the reason we've talked about good fences for so long, is when you understand how fences work in your life, when you understand when to say yes and when to say no, when you know how to what it means to have good fences and maintain these boundaries in your life, when you understand what you're working for and you're striving for, and you're open to dealing with those inabilities and failures quickly, then you're going to resolve your conflicts quicker. You know, when you understand that, you know, okay, I'm having a problem saying no in this area, or I'm having a problem hearing no in this area. If I love good fences, if I embrace this boundary issue, then I'll be able to address that inability in my life. I'll be able to go, oh, okay, I'm not hearing no. I'm not hearing what you're saying here. I need to embrace that and honor your no. And then you can move on to deal with the issue. That's when resolving conflict is a lot easier. So we call these kind of people fence lovers, not to be confused with tree huggers. It's two different things. All right? Yeah. When you love fences, when you understand what fences are about, you understand boundaries, you understand all the different things that we've talked about fences and boundaries. So let me give you some traits. How do you know if you're more of a fence lover? Okay, some traits of a fence lover. And I'm giving you boxes where you can check for yourself, or you can not and mentally check because you don't want your, maybe you want to check for your spouse. I don't know. If you let your, maybe you are really a fence lover if you let your spouse check your box. Because I mean, that's true. Because the reality is this compresses down to one central issue on being a fence lover. There's really one issue you're dealing with here, and that's feedback. A fence lover loves feedback. Maybe not love in the sense of, oh, give me more feedback, but a fence lover will honor the feedback. They love to listen to the feedback. It's been said there are two kinds of people in the world, those that split people into two groups and those that don't. No, there's another saying, there's two kinds of people in the world, those who listen to feedback and those who don't. And it's true. Some people will listen to it, some people won't. Well, that's a good indication of a fence lover. So use this checklist, see how much of a fence lover you are. And in this list, I'm using the word the other, indicating that this list is a pretty good list whether you're in marriage or you're single. This applies to relationships in general. But you can very, very easily substitute the word your spouse for the other. Okay? So here we go. The first one is, I'm open to feedback and correction from others. I gain understanding as a result of confrontation or feedback. Okay. A fence lover is open to feedback and correction from others. A fence lover gains understanding as a result of confrontation or feedback. Sila, which means just digest that for a second. Proverbs 15:32 says, if you reject discipline, you only harm yourself, but if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. I don't think that's on your sheet, is it? Okay. I'll read it again then. Proverbs 15:32, if you reject discipline, you only harm yourself, but if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. So as a fence lover, I'm open to feedback and correction. Secondly, a fence lover doesn't become defensive when the other shares feedback. Not only are you open, you gain understanding, but you don't become defensive. Can you listen and hear the heart of the other person without trying to defend yourself? Can you sit down and listen to them as they say, well, you're doing this and you're doing this, and you can you listen for the heart of the person without going, yeah, but well, you and I, well, Drop all the defenses. Can you do that? Okay? If you can, fence lover.
How long do the fences have to be dropped?
To listen to the heart of the other person.
But then when that person walks away, if you walk away.
Then you can go, oh, well, that stupid idiot. Can't believe he thought that.
You know, just like with children, you know, they might be looking right at you when you're back.
Well, I think with this is go back to the first one.
Okay.
You drop your fence. You drop your defense. I'm not talking about dropping your fence. I'm talking about dropping your defense. Okay. Remember, we go back to something we said a long time ago, is your fences are not a weapon. Okay. So you're not trying to beat them over the head with, I'm not going to listen to you, okay? Can you hear the heart of the other person? Because many times when relationships are having trouble, all we want to do is react to what the other person is saying. And a lot of that, I mean, there can be a lot of reasons for that. History, things we've gone through, things we imagine, things we anticipate. And so we fail to hear the heart of the other person. We fail to hear, you know, what they're really communicating with all this, okay? They may be communicating, and we'll get into this later, but they may be communicating, you know, I'm lonely. And it comes out just so, and you hear things that you'll go, well, that's not true, and that's not true, and that's distorted, and that's an exaggeration, okay? But can you just drop it and listen for the heart without trying to punch back? And then it goes back to the first thing we said, which is you gain an understanding as a result of the confrontation or feedback. Okay, if you're really listening for the heart of the other person, then you're going to gain some sense of understanding. Now, you may need clarification. Very often have to give some response in order to gain clarity in what they're saying. I'm not saying you don't say anything and you just sit there and go, Hit me one more time, you know. You gonna be all right? Good. So you're gonna, you know, it is gonna be a conversation. It should be a conversation when you're getting feedback and you have to say, okay, am I understanding what you're saying here? Are you saying this? Okay, and they say, no, you idiot. Okay, well, let me hear it again, okay? I'm just trying to hear your heart here. Okay, I want to understand you. Yeah.
Well, and like most things, this gets easier the more you do it and the mm-hmm. more you're comfortable with it. I mean, this is something that I don't think came easy for me. Initially, the defensive would be there, give me a little bit of time, let me think about it, and then I can realize, okay, yeah, I see your point. But that was something that I had to really and still work at. Because initially, if he's coming to me or anybody's coming to me with something, you know, I did something wrong, you know, it's like, oh, no, I can't be wrong. you know, you automatically want to protect yourself. So those defenses go up and you fail not to maybe listen. With me, I needed a little bit more time to kind of let it process. But the more you do it, the easier it is to process sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and that's why it's really important. Close this and let it process here, okay? Let it really sink. You know, I know a lot of times I'll have to walk away. I may just totally disagree and be all, but let it process. Let the Holy Spirit work here, you know, and maybe, you know, in a while I'll get it. Okay. But it takes not lashing back because, you know, you start into this. Over here, we talked about a long time ago. Otherwise, you start into this button pushing and reaction, and I react, and I push your button, and you react, and you push my button, and you go in this way back to the crazy cycle. Yeah. So anyway, so fence lovers. Another trait of a fence lover is they take ownership of their problems, choices, feelings, attitudes, and behaviors. Something we've talked about a lot with fences. Okay. You take ownership. This is mine. My problems, my choices, my feelings. Okay. You're not causing my feelings. You may be making a big contribution, but you're putting a lot in the bucket there. But those are my feelings. Okay, so I'm going to have to deal with those feelings. A fence lover can see themselves and observe their behavior. This is a fairly advanced skill of a fence lover, too. Okay, it's... And that's why the feedback is so important, because many times we can't get here without the feedback, because we just see us as wonderful and great, and who wouldn't love us? And you know, so, and that feedback kind of blows the dust off of our mirror, and we go, oh, really? Okay, and then we can really see us. We can see our behavior. A fence lover values the treasures of others. I value your feelings, your choices, your problems, your attitudes, your behavior. I value those. I value all you own and all you have. A fence lover sees the other as an individual separate from themselves with separate experiences. And we talked about that at length as well. And I'll add to this, not only does a fence lover see that, but they see it as a positive. Because sometimes people will see that, you're separate from me, and they take that as a negative. No, you should be more like me. No. That's a positive, that we're not the same. It's positive that you're separate. You have your own experiences. A fence lover will allow the other the freedom to be different from them. A fence lover respects the freedom and space of the other. An offense lover sees their own need for growth and change specifically. And I say specifically, I add that to that because most of us are willing to admit readily we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect, okay? Cliche. Nobody's perfect, okay? But somewhere in the back of our mind, we may think, but, you know... Yeah, you know, I can't really think of an item right now where I'm not. So, but a fence lover will see specifically. Okay, well, I'm getting this feedback. Okay, there's truth here, and you know, will you admit to specifics? Okay, sign of a fence lover. Now, the more of those things you're able to check, or maybe I should say, the more of the box you're able to color in, because maybe you're able to color in like half the box and say, well, I have about 50% in this area. Or, you know, sometimes I'm okay with feedback, and sometimes I just, you know, I get all defensive and I feel all the walls going. And because I look at this list and I'm going, oh, that one's okay. Okay. But the more of this you're able to fill in or check, then the easier it is to resolve your conflicts. Doesn't mean it's easy to resolve your conflicts. I'm not saying that at all. But the easier it is, because two issues, if you got this mostly handled, then you can work on the issue. Means I'm more capable of addressing the basic issue. Okay, there's a communication problem. Okay, now if I'm willing to be a fence lover and I'm willing to get my junk and trash out of the way, then I can work on the communication. And there may be more of my junk there, too. So once we move to the basic issue, then the Bible suggests a fairly repetitive, predictable pattern to dealing with any type of conflict, no matter what type. We talked about six types, but if you can deal with every type of conflict basically with this pattern. The first thing is you observe. You can't see, you can't fix what you can't see. At least one of you needs to be able to see that there's a problem so you can address it. If neither of you see that the real issue you're dealing with is poor communication, if neither of you can see that the real issue you're dealing with is a lack of love, then you won't address it, you know? So you observe it. Secondly, you confront it. Do you like that word?
No.
Anybody else? Do you like that word? Anybody like that word? I don't like that word. Confront? I don't like that word. Except it's the best word because it literally means to come face to face. Confront, okay? Two people, face to face. And so that's what you have to do. We are to speak honestly and openly with one another. And many issues aren't dealt with simply because we fail at this point. We fail to come face to face and address the issue. We may yell at each other from another room, figuratively speaking or literally speaking, either one. You know, we may give it the over the shoulder thing in passing, kick, punch, you know. I'm addressing the issue. But to come face to face and address the issue, that's what confrontation is. I'm going to Ephesians 4, not in your notes either, is it? Okay, there it is. I knew it was somewhere. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. So there's your scriptural thing. So we have to confront it. We have to deal with it. If you don't deal with the problem, it'll stay around. Thirdly, own with grief and apology. Okay? If you're part of the problem, most of the time, you probably are, then own it. Okay? This is my part of the issue. And again, this is when we're dealing with the issue. This is after we've dealt with the second part, which was the, I have an inability or a weakness to deal with the issue. Okay? Now I'm actually dealing with the issue. And in the issue, whatever the actual conflict is, I own, okay, this is my part of it. And if you've been hurt, then you communicate it. This has hurt me. This part of the conflict is, and you grieve it. Go through the, that's why it says with grief, okay? I've been hurt. I've lost something in this. Part of the grieving process is all of that. And the end of the grieving process is let it go. And move on. And then with apology, forgiven you. Fourth, repent. When you see you're wrong, stop it. Change direction. Commit to changing direction. At least commit to changing direction because you have the fifth part, which is involve. Involve. Because most problems, most conflicts, look, if you've been married for however many years you've been married, okay? Next month it'll be 24 years for us. So a lot of problems you've created probably since before you were married. You started working on them then, okay? So they're not going to go away overnight. You're not going to go poof and boom, they're gone. There is going to be a process for healing, process for change, process for reconciliation. So you become involved in the process. Not, okay, we've identified it, hope you can work it out, see you later. Call me when you're done. Okay. Even if you didn't really have, it wasn't your fault, okay? Get over that, okay? You're part of the process. It's not me, it's her. Not me, it's him. We don't care. Involve yourself in the process, okay? And sixth, reexamine. Conflict isn't a one-and-done thing. Conflict is not a one-and-done thing. And as I said, this is the easier part. But just because conflict is easier because you've dealt with the personal inabilities and weaknesses doesn't make it easy. Conflict hurts. Conflict is hard. That's why, in some cases, marriage is hard. Okay, there. It's awesome. It's great. It's the best thing that I can think of that God created. Was this because that's what He created us for? Was a relationship with Him. He also built us so we can be related to others, and we can do this marriage thing, and it's really cool. But because there's conflict, conflict is hard, and it's hard because marriage is so cool. You know, it's like when you have a shiny new car and it gets a scratch on it. It's so painful because it was so shiny and new. Okay, and so it can be hard, but it's easier when you have a fence lover, when both of you are fence lovers. There's a video clip we're going to watch later, but it mentions, not later today, but later. There's a video clip we're going to watch later, and it mentions our marriage relationships as containing a river of love. He was talking, and he said something about river of love, and a lot of times our conflicts are like having a boulder in the middle of that river. I like that analogy. As much as we want to connect in love to one another, that's the whole reason we get married, that's the whole reason we get in a relationship, is we have this river of love that we want to flow between us. And these conflicts get in as boulders, like that one. Now you can see, if you look close enough, and it's hard to in this light, but there is some water going around this boulder. But in many cases,
there's your septic tank.
No. I passed a stone. No. No. There's a flow, but it's a restricted flow. The flow of love that should be there is narrowed down, and sometimes it gets so narrow it's a trickle, and sometimes it feels like it cuts it off. And whereas at one point you enjoyed this river of love going between you guys, then you get this conflict going, and it's like, ugh. And it's just, ugh. And so, you may remember we talked about the differences between bearing one another's burdens and bearing your own burden. Because Paul says that in Galatians chapter 6. At one point he says, bear each other's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. And then he goes on and he says, but each one should bear his own burdens. And we said that you bear your own burden. And that's like bearing a knapsack. It's like picking up something that you can easily handle, okay? And we all have things that we are supposed to handle ourselves, okay? Simple things that we have to handle ourselves, such as getting up in the morning, going to work, brushing our teeth, taking a shower, you know? Hopefully you're doing all well with that kind of stuff. But we won't point anybody out. But the heavier burdens, the boulders, are what we need each other to come alongside. We need our neighbor to come and help us with the boulders. Conflicts are boulders. We can't take care of these on our own. You have a relational conflict, both of you need to be working on the boulder. And so that's why some conflicts don't get, because it takes two people to work on the conflict. So let's start on this. When resolving conflict is harder. Obviously, it's harder when one person doesn't want and doesn't like fences. In contrast to fence-loving people, we'll call these people fence-resistant. And let me give you just a few signs that you might be fence-resistant. Okay, and you might very quickly go, oh, they're fence resistant. I see that one. Oh, yeah. Okay, feedback. Okay, try to be a fence lover and see if there's any of this in you. Okay, how do you know if someone is being resistant to fences? It's not really rocket science. Okay, when fences are encountered, when the answer is no, when you want to go, you run into a fence or a roadblock, this is my property and I'm saying no, and you're going, but I want to. I think we should. Really? You sure you don't want, and you start hitting against that fence. What do you do? Do you accept the no? Do you accept the no? Well, or are there these signs of fence resistance? Are there angry reactions? Okay. If someone is fence resistant, then when there's a no, there's going to be an angry reaction. What do you mean you won't? What do you mean I can't? Remember with this, if you're running into a fence resistant person, or they're running into you hard, their anger is not yours. As a fence lover, you own your feelings, you let them own their feelings. Anger is not a cue that you have to do something. And that's hard sometimes because we do care about the other person and we care about what their feelings are and we care about it. And when a fence-resistant person angrily reacts, now, or when we are being fence-resistant, okay, you might consider yourself, you might have gone in and checked all the boxes and said, I'm a fence lover, but yet that happens to you. Well, that means in that instance, in that case, in that, you're a fence-resistant person. Okay, if you're not respecting, if they say no and you blow up because you have all your multitude of reasons why you should be able to run right through their fence, then you're not a fence lover. You're being fence resistant. But when the other person is doing that and their anger, they're flaming out at you, your teenager's getting all mad and pouting and stuff, that's not a cue that you have to do anything. Okay, that's their feeling. You don't need to seek their approval. You don't need to rescue them. You don't need to change the outcome for them. Just shows you that you've got a fence-resistant person on your hands, okay? Secondly, guilt messages. Guilt messages. I love this story. I don't know if we've told this story, but a man telephoned his mother, and she answered the phone. You may have told this one. I don't know. Man phoned his mother, and she answered the phone really weakly. You know, kind of, hardly any voice. Concerned, thinking she was sick, the man asked her, Mother, what's wrong? Oh, I guess my voice doesn't work very well anymore. No one ever calls me since you children left home. Guilt. I guess I'll be all right. You know, there's the underlying thing of this is happening because of you. Okay. This is happening because of you. It's your fault. Okay. I'm dying here because you're, you know. Guilt messages. If you're encountering that and you're giving out guilt messages, then you're resisting offense. If you're running into that, then just recognize it. And that's where I said earlier, you know, what's the underlying message with that mother? What's the heart there? She's feeling lonely. Okay. He goes on later and he goes, so I said to her, Mom, it sounds like you're feeling lonely. And that was really what she was. Okay. Now, part of it was because they had set up fences. And okay, we have our life and you're a separate person and you know you're responsible for some of your own interaction in life. So we're not the only people that you can deal with. I'm sorry you're feeling all neglected because we're not there with you 24 hours a day, but you'll be fine. Okay. Sorry you're alone. Third, consequences and counter moves. Okay. A fence-resistant person is very likely to have give consequences and counter moves to your fence. You have a fence. Maybe you get cut out of the will. I read a story that happened. You know, the guy was always had to be with, you know, the controlling father because, you know, otherwise, and yeah, he got cut out of the will. That was the end result of it. But he had freedom because he was living within his fences. Maybe they'll give you the cold shoulder. Maybe they won't talk to you for the rest of the day. Maybe they whatever. All kinds of moves we can do when we don't like somebody's fence to try to make them, you know, take that down. And then lastly, physical resistance. Some people are in violent relationships because they have a fence-resistant person. The most common reason for fence-resistant is that when we're in a conflict and we use our fences in that conflict, it means that, you know, when I when I go a normal direction that I would normally go and I reach somebody else's fence, that's painful for me because that means I'm going to have to change. And so that's where we start getting resistant to fences. Because change is painful. Change is hard. We don't like pain. And the change involves that first list. What do we have to do? Well, we have to listen to feedback. We have to go through all those other things. And so that's part of the pain. So, but we're gonna finish this up next time on resolving conflict when it's harder. Okay, let's pray before we go. And with nobody looking, I'd just like you to close your eyes a minute. We're gonna pray, and I want to give a second because there are relationships here, but also outside of this room that I want us to pray for this morning that are going through harder conflict. All conflict is hard, like I said, but it's harder. And just really want to ask God to work and His Spirit to work in these relationships. And Father, we just ask You for that right now. Lord, whether it's in this room or outside, people that have been here in this class, some are not here this morning simply because the conflict is so hard. And Lord, I pray, first of all, for Your grace and mercy to be known in every relationship. Lord, You long and desire for connection with us. You long and desire for us to be connected with each other. Lord, in those places where we have been weak and unable to respond in love, Lord, that You would help us open our hearts and minds once more to Your Spirit working within us and work in every relationship for those that are having difficulty in accepting the boundaries and realizing and seeing where they need to change. Lord, we pray that You would continue to work in Your Spirit, and I pray for every relationship, for especially every marriage, that You would bring healing and bring restoration in time, Lord, that out of that long-suffering spirit that is part of the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, that You would bear fruit in our lives. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week. See you next time.